I tell you what, I just enjoy coming to church on Sunday morning. Now, I don't see why you can't. And boy, I tell you, God just seems to bless. We might have to start calling our church something different. We keep going like that. But that is great. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles today to a passage of Scripture most of you are very familiar with. It's Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. My wife told me that I need to go all the way down to verse 9. You know, I said last week I'd preach better sermons when she'd write them. Well, she's pushing awful hard on me now. I told her, I said, she said, what's your passage of Scripture for Sunday? I said, Isaiah 1 through 6. When I got up this morning, she said, it's 1 through 8. She said, I added some to it if you don't mind. I said, I don't mind, man. I love Isaiah. Listen to what it says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the doors were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity has taken away, and your sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, keep on hearing and do not understand, keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. Lord, just speak to our hearts. Let us understand it. God, give us a fire that's burning in our heart that we will not go out, but we will just continue to spread the word with an earnest endeavor to reach people while we are here. Revive us, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in 741 B.C., they had the best of times and the worst of times. For prosperity had grown in Uzziah's reign, but instead of becoming spiritually strong in all that prosperity, they had declined and they had become spiritually weak. I think of our day. Today, God has blessed us. He has blessed us, one, as a church. And when I'm talking about a church, I'm talking about the body of believers that are here today. You that have been saved and know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. God has blessed them. And God has blessed you. And you would think with all the blessings and the prosperity that God has given us as a church, that we would have grown, that we would have busted out the seams and the walls of this church, and we would be shouting hallelujah, praise God. We would have spirit-filled services that just overflowed into the streets of Gun Barrel City. But instead, we have become spiritually weaker. And I say that not because I'm saying that you are spiritually weaker, but I'm saying that in all, as a church as a whole, we don't see the fire that ought to be burning within these walls. We don't see the commitment that we've had in the past. Now, chapter 1 of Isaiah understood the need for ministry. He understood the ministry was to reach out around him. And if you look in verse 2 of chapter 1, he says, "Hear, O heaven, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and guess what? They have rebelled against me." He's preaching the word of God. Our world is in turmoil today. I know a lot of good preachers today. I believe Isaiah was a good preacher. But there's something wrong. There's a lot of good preachers. And Isaiah was a good preacher. But he had a heart problem here. You see, the problem is we don't get from our head to our heart. We understand today about Jesus Christ. We understand about sin. Isaiah understood about sin, and he preached the word of God, and he said, "Listen, people, God has nursed you and brought you up, but you have rebelled against God." And what Judah needed those days was not a political or social problem in Judah. It wasn't like we have in America, a health care problem or a racial problem. It was a sin problem. And I challenge you and I charge you today, what we have in America is not political, it's not racial. We have a problem with sin in our lives. Isaiah said, "Oh, sinful nation." He understood that the problem was sin. He understood that the people had rebelled against God. He also understood that the solution to the problem was not a social program. It was not a health care program. It was not a racial program in those days. What the world needs is a Savior program. And we need that in our churches. We need that in our the Southern Baptist Convention. We need that all through the South, all through the North. We need the Savior to come into our lives and move us into revival. In chapter 1, verse 18, after he talks about all of this sin and things, he says this, "Come," God says, "come, let us reason together. Let us sit down and be friends. Let us talk about your sin problem and let us work it out." And friends, Isaiah offered the nations a Savior. He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you look over in chapter 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 up to 6, and he says, Christ is the solution to the problem of a sin. And he underscored his preaching with the word of God. Isaiah was a good preacher. If you look over in chapter 1, verse 2, he says, "Hear, O heaven." In verse 10, he says, "Hear what the word of the Lord." In verse 11 says, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices?" In verse 18, he says, "Let us reason together." Verse 20, he says, "Preach the word." Verse 24, he says, "Preach the word." Friends, Isaiah was doing exactly that. He was preaching the word. And the word, Paul says, is preached to us. It is a schoolmaster. It teaches us. If it wasn't for the word, we would know that we are sinners. The word is there to show us where our life is, to show us what our heart's in. And Isaiah was a good preacher. But the Lord needed a great preacher. We have good teachers in this church. We have good, I think, good preachers in this church. We have good song directors in this church. We got them all through the convention. We've got great people. I heard someone say the other day, "Well, I'm a good person." We got a lot of good people. But God wants great preaching, great music, great teaching in the Word of God. I believe God's got someone here this morning he wants to call to greatness. And that someone is probably you this morning. I believe God would issue this morning a call for First Baptist Church not to be just a good church, but that First Baptist Church would become a great church and do a great work for God in this community. How in the world can we do that? How, preacher, how can we become a great church? Well, I'm going to tell you. chapter 6, Isaiah made a transition from a good preacher to a great preacher when he first beheld the majesty of the Lord. Folks, if we're ever going to be great, we've got to behold the majesty of the Lord. Now listen, here's how it's done. In the year that King Uzziah died, there was a tragedy. Someone had to die. Uzziah was a great king. Uzziah brought prosperity to the people. But you know, the people looked at Uzziah. Everyone looked at Uzziah. So God took him out of the way, I believe. You see, I believe Isaiah had to be removed before Israel could see the Lord. Now, let me ask you your question, and I want you to think about it seriously. Who or what in your life is going to have to be removed before you can see the majesty of God? A family member? I was just thinking this morning, Lord, we've got so many people that are cold. We've got so many people that are indifferent. Whatever it takes in those people's lives, I pray that you will do it. Now, to do that, we have to become broken. And when we become broken, some things in our life have to be removed. I like the song. I'd rather have a deep, dark grave. You see? And all the gold than to lose my soul. What has to be removed in your life? Has your life been shaken? Well, Isaiah's life was shaken personally. Boy, he was going to the temple to worship God in the year that King Uzziah died. Emotionally, it was a disaster for a country to lose their king. I know what it is when America loses a president. I was thinking when John F. Kennedy was shot and assassinated, our country went into a kind of a shock, didn't it? You who can remember that. You know how solemn it was. You can remember on 9/11 when the Trade Tower was blown up and burned up. You can remember the shock that came. What has to be removed in America? God is saying, listen, wake up, America. Wake up, churches. Wake up, people. Materially, financially. What has to be removed in your life? Well, let me tell you something. God can do that. And God will do that. And He'll have to do that, I believe, if we're going to see the Lord in all His majesty. Do you look at yourself? Do you look at your friends? Do you look at your circumstances when a disaster takes place? Isaiah says, I looked at the Lord. And for the first time, I believe, he saw the majesty of the Lord. Isaiah says, saw the glory of the Lord. In the temple, John 12, 41 says, Isaiah saw the glory of Christ. Isaiah 6, I believe that is a revelation of the pre-incarnation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isaiah saw the Lord. And where was the Lord? He was on the throne. Amen. What does that mean? Isaiah saw the Lord and he was on the throne. Folks, when Isaiah saw the Lord and it says he's on his throne, that speaks of the sovereignty of God, folks. It simply speaks that God is in control. Let me tell you something. Somebody said the other day, preacher, we're going to be a mess if Obama gets elected again. We're in a mess anyhow. We're in a mess. It's not Obama's fault we're in a mess. It's our fault. Amen. We're probably going to be in a mess no matter who gets elected. Because we've turned away from God. We need to see the Lord high and lifted up. God's in control, folks. He's always has been. It doesn't matter who's elected. God's in control. We haven't lost that. He hasn't lost the war to the devil. He's already defeated that. God is in control. And we need to see that personally, that no matter what happens, our Lord is set on the throne. He's high and lifted up. He's in power. He's the sovereign God. Nobody's stronger than God. He's still holding everything together. It's going according to His will. And He's saying, listen, people, if you don't get right, it's going to get worse. That's what God's saying to us. He says, get right. So what is it today that has caused you to doubt that Jesus Christ is still seated on the throne? The Bible tells us He's high and lifted up. He's seated at the right hand of God. Over in Revelation, I'll get to that in a minute. When we have a crisis, who do we look up to? We need to look up to Jesus Christ. He's the only one. It's not my friends. It's not my family. It's Jesus Christ. He is still Lord. I want to know, is He Lord in your life today? John says over in Revelation, worthy is the Lamb. He saw, you know, when he got to heaven, worthy is the Lamb. He's still on the throne. He's still seated there. Isaiah saw God on the throne. Now, he also, not only did he see the person of Jesus Christ, God on the throne, he saw the position of Jesus Christ. He's high and lifted up. God is lifted up. Man, if we don't lift God up, we're in a mess. God ought to be first place in our life. We ought to have Him lifted up. I love my wife. I love my family. But let me tell you something. God has to be high and lifted up as the head of our house. You know? If He's not, something's out of place. If you're lifted up more than God, you're out of place. You see, if your family takes importance over God, they're out of place. And hopefully God won't have to remove your family for you to see that. You see, that's what God wants. He said, I want to be first in your life. Amen. So Isaiah saw the position of Christ, high and lifted up, above all principalities, above all powers. Everything's at God's feet. Not only that, Isaiah said he saw the presence of the Lord. His train filled the temple. Now, there's no place in all this universe that the presence of God doesn't feel. He's in His house. He's out there in the world. He's everywhere. God is there. You can't run far enough to get away from God. I want you to know, God is filling this world today. Nothing has taken place that's got God in a panic. God knows what's going on. There's nowhere you can go that He is not. The psalmist said, if I ascend into hell, He's even there. Woo! Folks, there's no place you can run to. His presence fills this place. Not only that, he saw the train and he saw the praise of His glory. Look at verse 3. And the seraphim flew and cried and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. In Revelation, I like to go in Revelation chapter 5, verse 13. The Bible says something about Jesus Christ and who is worthy to open the book. And every creature there is giving praises to God. He's the only one that's able to open the book. Every blessing, and they're praising and they're honoring and they're falling down before the Lamb and they're saying, worthy is the Lamb. Oh, John says, behold, the Lamb of God. He's our Lamb. He takes away the sins of the world. The Bible says blessings and honor are His. The person, the position, and the presence of God. Not only that, the Bible says Isaiah saw the purity. When he cries out, holy, 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 he's talking about the purity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is pure. He's pure in His methods. He's pure in His motives. He's pure in His attitudes. He's pure in His actions. God is holy. Amen. Folks, we need to see that in our lives. We've lost that today in America. We've lost that in our churches today. But Isaiah, the Bible says, saw the Lord. He saw the Lord in his person. He saw the Lord in his position. He saw the Lord in his presence. He saw the Lord in his praise. And he saw the Lord in his purity. How do you see God today? Is he really Lord of your life? Someone says we need to make Christ Savior and Lord. Let me tell you something. If he's Savior, he is Lord. Now, you may not put him there, but he is Lord. And folks, we need to recognize the person of Jesus Christ. Israel's eyes were opened that day to the majesty of the Lord. Now, I talked about last week a vision of this church. I believe we saw a glimpse of that vision this morning. And I'm going to go ahead and step out on a limb and say right now, I believe already that we have that money for that children's program. Because I believe you caught a vision of that. I believe you caught the excitement of that. I believe really in my heart that you want boys and girls to learn about Jesus Christ more than you want a sign out here. Amen? I do. And by the way, Wednesday night we voted to go ahead and get the sign, and it'll be out there one day. But you know what? It's beautiful, but it's not near as beautiful as those little children who come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we need that kind of vision today. Would you allow God to give you that vision in your life? Would you allow God to shake your life so much this morning that you'll see that the person of Jesus Christ is in control of your life? Not only that you will give him your life. And when Isaiah saw Jesus Christ in the light of his majesty, the Bible says something else happened to him. He beheld not only the majesty of the Lord, he saw something we need to see. He saw the misery of his condition. Look at 5 verse 8. Look at 5 verse 8. Woe to those who join house to house. He's preaching. I said a while ago, Isaiah was preaching. He preached the word. And look at what he says. He said, woe to those who have joined the house. Look at verse 11. Woe to those who rise up early in the morning. Look at verse 18. Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity. Look at verse 21. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes. Look at verse 22. Woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drinks. He's preaching the word of God over and over. And Isaiah is convinced that the gospel is for them. Now get that. It's for them. But now turn over to what I say in chapter 6. Look at chapter 6, what it says. When he saw the Lord, and he saw how holy God was, and he opened up his heart to the majesty of the Lord, he doesn't say woe to them anymore. He says, woe is me. Woe to me! You see? We can go out into the world and we can say, those people out there are sinners. Woe to those people down there drinking at the bar. Woe to those people down there that are on the lake. Woe to those people that are out in the world today doing nothing when they ought to be in the church. But if you and I see God for who he really is in our life, we'll fall on our knees and say, woe is me. I'm the one that's unclean. You see, I'm responsible for sin in my life. And let me tell you something. We're not all that holy, are we? He didn't blame it on the people anymore for the past. He didn't blame for the lack of spiritual or immorality in the day. He didn't blame his children. Oh, we want to blame everybody today. Well, preacher, I don't do this because my wife don't like this. Well, you know, my parents won't come to church, and so I can't come. Or we have all kinds of excuses, but that's exactly what they are. We've got to see ourselves. I just really don't want to come to church. That's the truth about it, isn't it? It's because I had rather sit at home. I had rather be lazy on Sunday morning. I have ought against somebody at the church. Therefore, I'm just not going up there because they're hypocrites. Who's a hypocrite? It's I. I'm the sinful one. And that's what Isaiah says. He said, I'm ruined by sin. And right there in the light of the majesty of our glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, Isaiah realized he was a sinner. And it was him that had lost. Oh, he lost all that self-esteem for himself. Today we're always trying to build it up, aren't we? We always try to build ourselves up. I hear people all the time telling me all about how religious they are, how they do this and how they do that. And I hadn't seen them in church in 3 years. We're always trying to build ourselves up, and that's the problem. We can't build ourselves up to be good enough. In the light of Jesus, Isaiah lost it all. And he said, Lord, I am ruined by sin. Not only that, ruined in his service. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I've been preaching the gospel. I've been preaching the word to them, and all along, sin's in my heart. I've got unclean lips. In other words, he's saying, I'm just giving the Lord lip service. I'm not worthy, really, to serve God. And folks, let me tell you something. When I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself. Because I'm not worthy. I'm a man of unclean lips, just like Isaiah. When was the last time you saw your service? You know, I hear people all the time, if they ain't going to get something for it, they ain't going to serve. Well, if I'm not going to get the recognition for that, then why should I want to do it? You see? You serve God just because that's what you're supposed to do, folks. You've got God in your heart. And he said, I'm not worthy to serve the Lord. Isaiah saw that he was no better than to those he preached to. And at that moment, Isaiah felt hopeless and helpless. And he realized that, listen, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in the misery of his service, he fell on his knees and ask the Lord to come into his life. It's only the mercy and the grace of God. It's only the mercy and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we have been saved and that we are here today. And we're no perfect angels today. You know, he was there. He saw the Lord in his person. He saw the Lord in his position. He saw the Lord in his power. He saw the Lord in his praise. He saw the Lord in his purity. And he fell upon his knees, and a seraphim flew with a live coal in the tongs which on the altar, and he touched his tongue with it. And in that moment, Isaiah was sanctified in a fresh and a new way. Because he realized the mercy and the grace of our Lord. And Isaiah knew that if he ever did anything, it would have to be through God. And it would have to be God's grace and God's mercy. You see, I believe we need to come there. Paul came there in his life and he said, you know, if I do nothing else, I'm determined to know nothing except Jesus and his cross in my life. If I never become anything else. I just want to be God's man. That's all. I don't care if my name's ever in the Southern Baptist paper over there or not. That don't make you any better than anybody else. I don't care if my name's on a plaque. It doesn't make you any better than anybody else. I don't care if my name's in books. I don't think myself any higher than that pastor that preaches to 12 every Sunday morning, because he's doing what God has asked him to do. There's no small churches. You see? And the basis of ministry is not our position, our education, or our gifts. It's Jesus Christ. That's the basis. It's his cross. And Paul says, I want to know nothing but Jesus Christ and the cross. How many of us today need a fresh vision of who we really are and who God really is? We need that vision. You see, I believe when we get that vision, revival will come to our life. Now, I've already mentioned to you that we're going to have a conference here in August. And there's going to be some young guys here and their wife, and they're going to bring a good time of study. We all need that, how to raise our children, how to develop our home life and things like that. And some of you may say, well, you know, I've done gone through that. Well, you might have grandchildren come along. You better come on anyhow. I've already mentioned to you in April, I believe it is, we're going to have Brother Bob Pittman here. Man, we ought to set our calendars right now. I'm going to be there because I need it. I need revival. I need to study the Bible. You ought to be here for every service between now and then, just praying, Lord, here's what I want. I want revival in my life. I'll tell you what, if you'll come and you'll pray that, revival will break forth before they ever get here. That's right. When was the last time you really knelt on your knees before God? Not because you felt, well, it's expected of me. It's because you really wanted to. When was the last time you got before God and just prayed and poured your heart out to Him? Not because you thought that's something we ought to do, but because of your sinfulness in your life and you want to say, here I am, Lord, I want to be cleansed. I want to be set apart. I want to be purified in my life and my heart. Not only that, when he was right with God and he was sanctified by God, he saw something else, or he heard something. He overheard the Lord. And in verse 8, the Lord says, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Man, didn't Jesus say that? Didn't Jesus say that when he came back and said, the fields are wide unto harvest, but the laborers are few? Isaiah said, Lord, I heard you. I heard you, Lord. You said, whom shall I send? Lord, I heard that. It touched my heart. Lord, send me. Amen. I want to be the one. I know, Lord, I'm ruined. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm not worthy. But, Lord, I want to go because of you. You see, he's been to the cross. And he sees himself for who he really is. Folks, when we've been to the cross and we come under the blood of Jesus Christ, we'll say, Lord, I'm available to do your work. Are you available today? Have you let Jesus Christ come into your life? God says, I want you to go. Friends, before we go, we've got to get back to where we really started. And now, I want you to notice something. Isaiah's back to doing exactly what he did. He's preaching the word. But the only difference is he's seen the Lord. Before this, he was just preaching the word and he was saying, woe to those, woe to those. But look what he says. Let's go back. He said in chapter 1, he says, the Lord has spoken. In verse 10, he said, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 18, thus saith the Lord. But look at chapter 7. After he's been to the temple, after his life is set apart, after he's realized he's the one that's sinful. He's the one that needs to get his heart right. He's unworthy. Then in chapter 7, verse 3, he says, then the Lord said to Isaiah. Chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, the Lord said to me. Look at that. In verse 3 of chapter 8, then I went to the prophetess, and she convinced and bore a son. Then the Lord said to me, call his name. Verse 5. The Lord also spoke to me again, saying, you know what the difference is? Now he's not saying, Lord, those people out there, they're sinful. Woe to them, woe to them, woe to them. He's saying, Lord, woe is me. You see, he's got from the head to the heart. No longer is he blaming everything on everybody else. He's got a personal commitment to the Lord himself. It's a personal commitment that you and I need this morning to a living God. A personal commitment with passion. A personal commitment with your person to speak the words of God. He's been to the cross. Like Brother Teddy said, he has surrendered his all to God. He is surrendered, he is sanctified simply by the grace and mercy of the Lord. And now he's serving God out of his heart instead of his head. Some of you are good Christians, but I got news for you. God wants you to be even greater. God wants you to be great Christians. He wants you to take what you know in the head and have it transferred to your heart. And quit being satisfied with good and be the best. You see, you can only be the best when Christ is revealed in your life. You can only be the best when you've been shaken by God. And you see the Lord in all his majesty. You see the Lord in all his positions as sovereign God. You see the Lord in his purity. And your life begins to shout praise unto the Lord. Oh, thank God for his mercy and his grace to cleanse us this morning. And give us a new vision. Now it's like this. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never realized that you are a sinner. You always thought of that as somebody bad. You only thought of that as somebody that's hideous. You've always said, well, I'm a pretty good person. Well, good does not get you into heaven. You've got to see yourself as a sinner. And you've got to come to a Savior. And Jesus says this morning, if you will come to me, I will wash away your sin. I will set you apart. Pick you up out of that mud and mire of the world and put you on the solid rock, which is Jesus Christ. And put you to service for God. If you've never been saved, you need to do that today. You never know when your last day will come. Folks, it can happen just like that. We were driving down the road the other day. I was driving down the road the other day. And you know what? Car liked to hit me. And I thought, you know, thank you, Lord. But I was ready. I could have been taken out just like that. One for God's grace. You know, you go anywhere today. You go up Dallas today to the, you go up there shopping, ladies or men go up there shopping. You don't know if some nut's going to shoot you. You see? What happened in Aurora, Colorado is a tragedy. They were just going to see a show. They never know. But you know, you don't know when you're going to die, but God does. And what he says to you, you need to be ready. And Christians, let me tell you something. If we're not serving God out of a passion and a commitment out of our heart, then we're really not ready. When I die and I want to be able to stand before God, I want to say, I have fought a good fight, Lord. I finished the course that you've given to me. Would you come this morning?